Welcome to Parenting Matters on Nashville Catholic Radio, WBOU 100.5 FM, sponsored by the Family Life Office of the Diocese of Nashville. Your host for the program is Dr. Parr Donahue. Dr. Parr has years of experience in pediatrics and parenting. He was named the Senior Pediatrician of the Year by the Tennessee Chapter of the American Academy of Pediatrics in 2014. Dr. Parr is the author of four books, including books on parenting entitled Messengers in Denim, The Amazing Things Parents Can Learn from Teens, and Tools for Effective Parenting. Visit Dr. Parr's blog at www.parentingwithdrparr.com. Here's your host, Dr. Parr Donahue.
Welcome to Parenting Matters on WBOU 100.5 FM and streaming throughout the world at wbou.org. Our subject today, enjoying a Christian Christmas. Our guest expert is Father Anthony Stewart of Holy Family Catholic Church. I'll tell you more about him in a moment, but first my monologue. Everyone remembers being a kid and running down the stairs on Christmas morning to find a brilliantly lighted tree with piles of toys under it. Sorry, I should have said most everybody, because a lot of us kids didn't have electricity or lots of presents under the tree. We didn't, except one Christmas. We had gone to midnight mass, and on our way home, we let Grandma off at her house, and after walking her carefully through the fresh snow, Dad seemed to take a long, long time coming out of the house. Getting back to the car, where Mom and us, well then only four kids, waited protected from the cold Minnesota snow and wind. When he came out, he had a bag tucked under his arm, and he wouldn't tell us what was in it. When we got home, we were whisked off to the bedroom, where we had to stay for what seemed like forever. Finally, Mom opened the door and showed us our first lighted Christmas tree. It seems Grandma had purchased some battery-powered tree lights. She gave them to my dad when we got home. And he took the battery out of the car when we got there and hooked up the lights. We were awed. We were delighted in emptying the long brown winter socks we had put under the Christmas tree. Each of us had a fresh apple, an orange, and a candy bar. But even more exciting, we each had our own new coloring book. We knew for sure there was a Santa Claus. And that was way back during the Second World War. Today, it is a different story. So many of us find ourselves caught up by the TV, newspaper, and radio ads hawking the latest toys that, quote, all kids need and will love, unquote. But too often, kids neither need nor learn to love these very toys. American adults are expected to spend approximately $885 per person on Christmas this year. Last Christmas, gift spending totaled more than $720 billion. Now, don't get me wrong, Americans are very generous and gave more than $470 billion that same year to charity. But still, there's more to Christmas than giving or receiving presents. To tell us more about it, let me introduce our guest expert, Father Anthony Stewart. Father Anthony is originally from McEwen, Tennessee, went to Aquinas College, and then graduated from seminary at the Josephium. Then he went on to North America College in Rome and was ordained to the Catholic priesthood on June 30th of last year. Welcome, Father Anthony, to Parenting Matters on WBOU FM and streaming throughout the world at WBOU.org. It's such a real pleasure having you on the show.
Thanks for having me here.
You're very welcome. Before we get started with the meat of the show, tell us what Christmas was like when you were a child.
Well, Christmas was certainly not like you explained, but I had two sisters and a brother, and so Christmas was very exciting. And so, you know, Santa Claus would come, but it was interesting. So we would go to our grandmother's house for Christmas Eve night. And then when we would get back at our house, Santa Claus would have already come. So I didn't really wake up on a Christmas morning to Santa Claus coming in the night. My parents told me that they told Santa Claus to come after getting back from Grandma's, because we had so many places to go Christmas morning to other grandparents' houses. So that was it. It was always really exciting. When I think back, it was almost like this kind of magical time of seeing all the presents underneath the tree. Certainly, I just remember a lot of great gifts that were under the tree. You know, I got a scooter one time, and it was probably like, holy cow. I asked Santa for it, but I just didn't think I would get it, but it got there, and it was just really exciting as a kid. So yeah, Christmas was great. I look forward to Christmas every year, even now as almost a 30-year-old, and going on to my second Christmas as a priest.
Well, thank you very much, and welcome. Thank you for bringing me into the 21st century.
Yeah.
our kids, of course, I have grandchildren your age.
Sure.
And our kids, we've had some wonderful Christmases, and I'll tell you about one of them towards the end of the show. But tell us about what Christmas is really, really about, and how we can make our Christmases more like that. Take as much time as you want. I'll interrupt you if I need to, but...
Sure. Well, I think it's really important to look at it from the standpoint of the Old Testament. And, you know, the Jewish people were in this great anticipation, this great waiting, looking for the Messiah to come. I think in Isaiah it says, the people in darkness have seen a great light, which is a beautiful line. And Christmas is certainly this kind of season of hope. Just imagine a world without Christmas. It wouldn't be a very hopeful world. And so, you know, just like this great, you know, anticipation of this coming of the Messiah, the Savior. And that's what happens is that, you know, God himself, God the Father, sends his Son into the world, into complete, really, poverty, just emptying of himself, becoming a baby in Bethlehem. And I've actually kind of been to Bethlehem. When I was at the North American College, I had a chance to take a pilgrimage during the Christmas break. And we were in Bethlehem just a few days before Christmas. And even still, Bethlehem is just so kind of impoverished. It's just wild. You would think with the event that happened there, it would be, you know, very touristy, but it's not. It's still a very humble place. And I think that's the interesting thing is that if you look at how Christ first entered into the world, it was in a stable where animals were. It was a place that just really was kind of filthy. And that's the way God first came to us in the world. And I think many times we think, you know, that for Christians today, they think that we've got to make ourselves kind of perfect before God will approach us, that we have to, you know, do all the things right, make ourselves clean, if you will, and then God will come to us. But that's not the way that Christ first came into the world. He came into this place that really probably stunk, if you will, and then he brings salvation in the messiness. And so I think that that's a beautiful message to all of us because we all struggle. We all have our stench, if you will, our own sin. But God can come in into our lowliness if we humble ourselves and really, you know, save us in that stench.
That is, it's so good. I know the Old Testament story, but you know, I never really stuck it together with Christmas in that light. Thank you very
sure.
much. But one interesting thing that a few years after the Christmas I told you about, we moved into a different house where we had our farm animals, where my grandma lived, actually. And my uncle, who lived with us, told us now, at Christmas, right at midnight, the animals talk. But you got to be down there at midnight. So every year, we try to run down to the barn because we thought, well, midnight, you know, it's midnight someplace when we got off midnight mass. We never heard them talking.
Wow.
But I guess they did, don't they?
Yeah.
I want to talk about how do we make Christmas really more about what it's all about, more about Christ.
Yeah.
Into Christmas and put him into Christmas.
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to just go back to your roots, that Christmas, you know, you see the bumper stickers. We got to put Christ back in Christmas. How do we do that? Well, first, I think you start with, I think it's a good practice, and sometimes my family would do this, is that, you know, open up Luke's gospel you know, at Christmas, or and just read the nativity narrative. Or, you know, I think it's important to have nativity scenes. A lot of them are really beautiful. And, you know, a lot of traditions, what they say is you leave, you know, you can have the nativity scene up kind of during Advent, but just leave the baby Jesus out of the scene. And then when Christmas comes, you put the child Jesus in there. So I think it's tradition's really important, you know, to make things every year and year out, that this is kind of what we do, this is our practice, and this is our faith. So really, I just think by being very thoughtful and cognizant and intentional, that we're going to do traditions that bring Christ into the middle of it. And then also, I think, you know, the Christmas season is really a time for service, to do works of charity, because Christ is ultimately coming to give himself for all of us, for all who are in sin, and he gives himself for us. And so that example should call us to do likewise, because Christ himself has done it for us. And so, you know, there's so many like food drives that we can do, or charities we can give to, or, you know, the angel trees that are everywhere, or you go to Kroger or whatnot and you can donate. So I think many things like that, those things would be a really good place to start.
I really like the gift that the churches in, I don't know if Williamson County or other counties do it, where they get together and they give gifts and packages, food packages, to the impoverished people in the neighborhood. Now, is that, do you know anything about how that got started, and if other counties do that, and if they don't, how could they be encouraged to do something like that? Can you tell us more about that program?
So last year was my first year to see it at Holy Family, and it is quite profound. I mean, it's like a well-oiled machine. You go in there into the parish hall, and there's all these boxes, and all kinds of families are there, young to old, and they're just going in a circle, filling up these boxes, and then they load the boxes up and just go out into parts of Williamson County that are low income, if you will, and bring those things to those people in the area. Which is really awesome. I'm not, since I'm so new to Williamson County, I don't know how it started. Do you know how it started?
Well, it was started by some minister from some other church.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And I don't know who that was. I thought maybe you would, but
Because multiple churches in Williamson County do it. It's just not.
Yes, and then they have this committee, and they put together names of the people who they want to give Christmas baskets to. And then they give each church gets a number of baskets to give, depending on how big the parish is and how many people they have. I think last year do you know how many boxes we had last year, how many names we had?
Ooh, probably 300, is that
right? I was going to say 350, yeah. Something like that. And then we have 350 families come, and I don't know where all the food comes from.
Kroger donates a lot of food. I know we do take up money in the collections, and then the money does go to buying, I think, gift cards to Kroger or other grocery stores in the area. So it's just really, I think, the grassroots by the generosity of the people.
Yes, and then families come in there and they have this. Each one gets a list of one or two names. They take baskets out to them, and on a certain day, I think that might be the Sunday before.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Christmas. So it's really a good program. Well, tell us a little bit about Advent. Advent, of course, is a very important part of Christmas. Nowadays, everybody has Advent wreaths. I never heard of an Advent wreath when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. Now I have three of them, and one of my favorite ones is a little round, about this big around. Can't see that without TV on, but it's about, on the radio, about 10 inches around.
Sure.
And has a little statue of St. Joseph there, and his animals around him, and then little rabbits and little doggies and little chickies, and maybe each of them holds a different candle. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of cool. It's kind of cute. Is that okay to have that kind of junk out there, or should you always be hands folded and running around in prayer?
No, I think it's an awesome thing. Anything that can, you know, we're very Christ. I mean, the whole thing about Christmas is that Christ became a human person. And so we need things like that to remind us. You know, in our families, we have pictures from people in the past, and those pictures allow us to kind of tangibly recall our family members. And that's the same with like statues and little miniature statues. These things help us to tangibly grasp what perhaps Christmas is all about, which is the incarnation of Christ becoming a man. He didn't remain a spirit. He came to us just as you and I are talking. He talks. So Advent comes from the word, it means coming, the coming of something. In the Latin of the Our Father, Adveniat Regnum Tuum, thy kingdom come. And so what Advent is it's this great season of expectation. And really, only a few churches have kind of held on to it, because we're really combating the consumerism, the market, the Christmas market that really began what's today is November 4th. You know, one of my sisters, she put her Christmas tree up the day after Halloween, and, you know, shame on her, because, you know, people do not like waiting. You know, we have phones now with, I think they're getting up to 5G now, with Google. Email, everything is just instantaneous, and we just don't like to wait. And so what Advent is it's this kind of the season of expectation, and there are 4 weeks of Advent, and kind of each year, each week represents about 1,000 years. It's tradition that from the time of Adam and Eve to the time of Christ was 4,000 years. And that's tradition. And each week kind of is we're getting closer to the coming of Christ at Christmas. And so that's what those four candles kind of represent. And as I said at the beginning of the show, the people in darkness have seen a great light. And each week we light a candle and it gets brighter and brighter. And some Advent wreaths, you may recall, have a white candle in the middle, which is the Christmas candle, and you would light the white candle when Christmas comes. So it's a great tradition, and it's kind of, you know, I do think it's there's some wisdom to it of kind of waiting. And when you wait, when the celebration comes, then you can actually enjoy it. It actually kind of means something. Believe it or not, I don't think that the Advent wreath has its origins in the Catholic Church. It's actually began in the Lutheran Church.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
In Germany, I think it began there.
Interesting. Well, let's see. Well, they say that the expectation is more exciting than giving, and maybe than getting. So when you were expecting something to come, and all of a sudden you get it, say, okay.
Yeah.
Especially if you really get it.
Yeah.
The Knights of Columbus have this Quotes for Kids program.
Right.
And we have a Council of Knights at Holy Family. And could you tell us a little bit about that program?
Yesterday I was at Mass and I saw Jim Kinsella, and he was holding a sign at the 5:30 Mass. And to my understanding, it's just a program where people can come and donate their coats, and those coats are redistributed to kids who really need a coat. The gospel actually for today was about, if you have two coats, you should give one. If you keep one and give one away. And so it's just a great program if you have actually an extra coat laying around, or you want to go out and buy another coat and donate it, you can give it to the Knights of Columbus at Holy Family, and they'll see about redistributing it to kids.
Well, what if you aren't a Holy Family member and you just want to give some coats away? How do you do that?
Well, one, you can either come to Holy Family, or two, I would say get on the internet, because it's not the only program out there for coats for kids. There are numerous charities out there that do redistribute coats to those in need.
You were talking a minute ago about the Advent wreath, and mm-hmm. one of the things that I have a question about is you have like four candles on there, one for each week, each Sunday, and then three of them I think are purple and one is rose. Is that correct?
That's right.
And what's the why? Why is that?
It actually happens in Lent and in Advent, we have a rose-colored vestment.
Yes.
And in Lent and in Advent, you wear kind of purple, and both of them are kind of, you know, penitential seasons. And in Lent, you're kind of getting up to Easter, which is a joyful time. And then in Advent, you're kind of waiting for the coming of Christ. And so what we would wear on Easter and on Christmas is this white, which is this color of joy, this color of celebration. And when you get to the third Sunday of Advent, we've added a little bit of white to that purple. So you know we're getting close to something. And so it kind of, with the senses, it kind of jolts your curiosity. What's this about? That we're getting something, perhaps, if you will, the light at the end of the tunnel. And so that third candle kind of demonstrates that we're at the penultimate week before Christ comes into the world and we sing joy to the world.
And it's so exciting.
Yeah, it is.
You know, one of our daughters-in-law has a big blackboard in her kitchen foyer.
Mm-hmm.
And on it, she makes little notes about, she puts somebody's names and some things that we should pray for that day, that week. So each week they pray for whatever on that board. And mm-hmm. I thought, what a wonderful idea that is.
That's awesome.
And is that something we could do during Advent?
Oh, absolutely. I think even more than Advent, that we should pray year round. I think that would be an awesome practice to pray for people. I think that's a really good practice. I'm really afraid that a lot of people see kind of prayer or they're turning religion into kind of a self-help therapeutic program. But really, it's a being a Christian is a being a giving of yourself, like praying for other people. Certainly, we should ask God for blessings within our lives. But I would go far to say is that it shouldn't be the primary thing, because the life of a Christian is a life of giving, and Christ shows us that by coming into the world. He didn't come for himself; he came to give himself for us.
So, God is not a Santa Claus God. So, what you're saying?
No. Well, no. No.
No, you're not
he certainly that? He actually well he gives the greatest gift, which is himself. I guess Santa Claus does give gifts, but he doesn't give himself. So we should be like Christ and give ourselves.
You know, one of the things I'm reminded of each time we get around Christmas is the home as a domestic church.
Right.
And I'm going to have a program with Bishop Trilby, Bishop Spalding coming up, and we're going to talk about the domestic church. But does that mean we have to have altars in the house? I remember when I was maybe in junior high, May was the month of Mary, mm-hmm. and we all had little May altars, and we go to get flowers and put on the garden. Hard to find flowers except dandelions in May, but in Minnesota, that's what we use. But we, whatever we found, and had a statue of Mary there, and we set our rosary there. Is that a part of the family that we should be doing?
I don't think it certainly could hurt to have some sort of like area or corner in your houses, a place of devotion, a place of prayer. I think that's certainly a good thing. But domestic church, I believe that's found in the Second Vatican Council document,
yes.
Lumen Gentium. And it's so important to understand that perhaps as a child, your first place to encounter God, hopefully, is at home by your parents. And so the domestic church, that you know, if a church is a place where we worship and encounter God, I would hope that we do that at home, where we spend most of our time. And so it's really of utmost importance that parents, you know, pray with their children, teach their children about God, and ultimately, because you know, the family is the single unit that makes up the broader of society. And you know, if love, and we say God is love. If love's not found within the home, then society really falls and really is hurt by it. And so I do think that the domestic church, having these altars in it and praying really can build up the family and even society at large.
Good. You know, we talked a bit about when Christmas should start, mm-hmm. with Advent probably, but then when should it end? I mean, we used to keep a Christmas tree up a long, long time after Christmas, and everybody else has theirs out on the street by noon.
Sure. Well, this is a big debate, and it depends who you ask. Some would say January 6th, which is the Epiphany, and that's probably when most would do it, but others is February 2nd was at the presentation, which Jesus is presented in the temple. So if you want to milk it till February 2nd, go for it. January 6th, if you want to get it out.
My tree sometimes stays up a long time because I don't get around taking it down. Well, we have about run out of time, Father. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
I really appreciate it. And thank you, too, our listeners, for without you, we would not exist. You are listening to Parenting Matters on WBOU 100.5 FM, and streaming throughout the world at WBOU.org. Now, before I sign off, one quick story. One Christmas when our kids were in early grade school, one of them wanted an electric football game. I'd remembered one our cousins had many, many years ago. It was a large football field with 22 players, 11 in red, 11 in blue. We didn't call them action figures, but I suppose that's what they were. Like us, our cousin's home did not have electricity, but the game was run on batteries. You line the opposing teams up, cross the scrimmage line, push the button, and the whole field shook, and the players either fell down or moved a little bit in one direction or the other. But when the one with the ball fell down, you pushed the stop button, and that play was over. It didn't look like a lot of fun when my cousins played it, and I couldn't imagine why our son would want it. But on Christmas morning, we had one under the Christmas tree. He tore open the wrapping and said, "Wow, just what I always didn't want. But that's okay. Thanks." Well, we were shocked in a way. But we told him that we can take it back and get something different. And he said, No. You gave it to me. I received it. And that is what I will enjoy. But truth be told, I don't think he ever enjoyed it very much. I didn't know at the time, but there were available some other football games, which were a lot more fun, but his parents, for some reason, were not in tune with what was going on in the world. Now, there's a great moral lesson here in this story. Often we pray for something, and God gives us something else. When that happens, we should act like our six-year-old son and make the best of it, because unlike our son's parents, God always knows and does what is in our best interests. Now, for your homework, get your family together, go to my website, www.parenting-matters.com, and listen again to what Father Anthony said on this show. Send us your thoughts and one or two things you plan to make your Christmas more in tune with the true Christmas meaning, Christ giving himself to us. And if there's a topic you would like us to hear discussed in Parenting Matters, let us know. We will find an expert to tell us all about it. Thank you for listening, and may God continue to bless you and your family.
Thank you for listening to another edition of Parenting Matters with Dr. Parr Donahue. Parenting Matters is produced and recorded inside the studios at the Catholic Pastoral Center. Thanks again for listening to WBOU 100.5 FM and streaming at WBOU.org.